Limonium Peresi, written by Chin of Clovers and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, Grace and Frankie. Relationship, Frankie Bergstein / Grace Hansen. Rating, teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. Additional tags, post-season 6. They emerge as different creatures. Two legs each, but their hands are always clasped, and in public they form the same singular, cleave-together shape they took on during 15 months of movie nights, unproductive freakouts, beach walks in the early morning before anyone else was out. The first time they eat at a restaurant, the patio, not the dining room, at a small table in a corner they've pretty much got to themselves, Grace is convinced Frankie's going to have a panic attack. Her eyes are a little wild as she orders a drink from behind her tie-dyed mask. "Saltram, please," she says in response to the server's follow-up question, but her eyes are saying, "Is this happening? Are we here?" Nothing much happens, though. Just a drink in the fading sun, a salad Grace doesn't like as much as the ones she makes at home, a different salad Frankie seems to enjoy quite a bit more. A shy little creak of conversation, nothing like the rushing river of words at the house. In the parking lot, Frankie clutches Grace's arm. "Do you feel like a member of society?" "Not at all," Grace says. The alien feeling is more acute lately, but it's always been true. Frankie used to think it was because she was stuck up, but she knows better now. Grace has always thought the world was disappointing and gross, her country an embarrassment of squandered riches. She directs any patriotism left over from childhood at the beach house, and never out loud. Lately, she's had some humiliatingly poetic thoughts about rays of light hitting the water, the hearty sea lavender that grows along the bluffs. Her little nation, or something much better than a nation, her beautiful home. Grace doesn't return the question. She already knows the answer. Frankie belongs to many societies, but the feeling of belonging is a little iffy right now. She's thinking about the sea lavender and the difficult place it's chosen to grow. Difficult for her, maybe, but easy for the sea lavender. When her ankle rolls. Frankie's close enough that she doesn't have to adjust anything to catch her. She simply tightens her grip, keeps Grace grounded until her feet right themselves. When they do, though, there's something else wrong. An unevenness, because the heel of her shoe has snapped. She slips out of her shoes and stands barefoot on the asphalt while Frankie goes back for the broken-off heel, which managed to roll a considerable distance away. "Aha!" Frankie shouts when she finds it. It's a funny little thing, held between Frankie's thumb and forefinger, a narrow and nearly jagged rectangle entirely divorced from its function. When Frankie catches back up, Grace realizes she hasn't picked up her shoes yet, and she wonders idly if Frankie will. She does. She bends down and scoops them up, hooks their straps over her fingers, hooks her arm back into Grace's for the duration of the walk to the car. Frankie drives Grace's car home. It's only a little harrowing. Mostly, Grace can relax enough to let her thoughts drift again, vaguely aware of the strangeness of bare feet against the floor mat, and the strangeness of being on the passenger side of her own car. That night, she goes to bed alone. Hours later, when it's very late, or very early, or no time at all, Grace wakes up to the other side of the bed dipping as Frankie slides between the sheets. "Hey, love," Frankie whispers, and Grace is too sleepy to protest the endearment, too sleepy to remind Frankie that she hasn't figured it out yet, hasn't decided who she is and what they can be. Sometimes it feels like time is deciding for them, but she doesn't have the words for that either. The next time she wakes up, the room is bright, and Frankie's sitting up in bed looking at her. Frankie clears her throat. "Do you want..." Sometimes Frankie asks to touch her in the mornings, when the day hasn't really started yet and it isn't actually real. Mostly her chest, her breasts, the sensitive skin on the back of her neck. Mostly. "You can touch them." Me to make breakfast? Oh. Grace flushes with embarrassment. A pit of sudden heat in her stomach, red creeping from the neck up. She closes her eyes, but it doesn't seem to have the disappearing effect she wishes for. Before she can apologize for the mix-up, Frankie sinks back down under the covers and scoots close. She slinks a hand under Grace's pajama top and slides it up until her fingertips nudge the lower edge of one of Grace's breasts. That breakfast question was totally out of left field, Frankie says, so don't feel embarrassed for a single second. You had a strange pause, Grace says, recovering. So I went on precedent. Totally. Frankie moves higher, presses two fingertips against Grace's nipple with feather-like pressure, sighing happily at the contact. That evening is movie night, and they don't even entertain the notion of leaving the house instead. Emerge isn't really possible as a verb. The only possible verb is to exist. Exist, exist, different every day. From the couch in the darkened room, lit only by TV flickers, Grace thinks about everything Frankie does for her. The way she took her out into the world for their little drinks on the little patio, even though they both knew it would be weird. The way she found the heel and swept up the shoes into her arms, and swept Grace up too, held her steady. And how she holds her at night, and touches her in the mornings in whatever way she wants, even if she can't say what she wants. Not too much, but so much. So much. She leans over and wraps her arm around Frankie's middle, pulling her even closer than she already is. Frankie's t-shirt lifts a little, and she makes contact with warm skin, and for the second time that day, heat rises in her cheeks. Grace feels, rather than hears, Frankie's tiny exhalation of happiness, and feels the easy shift as they settle more deeply against each other. The end.